And I went, I met Nagesh, and he asked me three questions, and I failed in all three. The first one he asked me is, are you an actor? I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, okay, I'm actually looking for a bowler. So I said, oh, okay. No, but I play cricket, sir, I can bowl. So he said, oh, great, you can bowl. Do you do pace bowling? I said, no, sir, I am actually a medium pacer, not a pace bowler. He said, oh, actually, I'm looking for a pace bowler. But anyways, how old are you? So I said, sir, I am 29. He said, oh, 29. I'm actually looking for someone who's 18, 19 max. So I said, I'm sorry, sir. That is something that I cannot really work on. The other two factors I still can, but not on this. So he said, no, nevertheless, it's okay. Give me your number, let me call you for an audition, and then let's see how it goes.
Hello everyone, my name is Neil Patel and you're listening to the Indian Startup Show, and that was my guest Shirez Talpedi. He's the actor, director, producer, and now he's entering the exciting world of entrepreneurship, building India's first ever streaming platform dedicated to the theatre and performing arts called Nine Rasa. The platform gives you access to several hours of plays, skits, storytelling, stand-ups, chats and more across several languages. So in this episode, he talks about how the idea got conceptualized during the pandemic and how the platform works and developing the ecosystem. He talks about the decision-making process and what goes on the platform and what doesn't. Shirez then goes on to talk about his acting career, including his big break. Talks about learning the craft, getting recognized for the first time. Talks about dealing with directors and writers. And finally, he talks about why you should ignore the critics, stop overthinking and just go do it. And much, much more. So pleasure to the show. Thank you. Hi, Shirez. Welcome to the Indian Startup Show.
Thank you so much, Neil. Lovely to be here, and I guess it's great talking to you. I've heard a couple of your other podcasts as well, and some phenomenal stuff by a lot of phenomenal people, I must say.
Awesome stuff. The check's in the post. please tell us what you're building.
So we are building the world's first ever OTT platform dedicated to theatre and performing arts. Mm-hmm. It's called Nine Rasa. And essentially everything that can happen on stage will be featured on Nine Rasa. So when I say that, it'll include full-length plays, one-act plays, skits, stand-up, stories, poetry, song, dance, music, everything in multiple Indian languages. Right now, we have content in four Indian languages, which is Hindi, Marathi, Gujarati, and English/Hinglish. And going forward, we'll be introducing a few more Indian languages like Bengali, Tamil, Telugu, Kannada, Rajasthani, and things like that. So we have content which is original and exclusively shot for Nine Rasa, 100 hours of content, which will appear on the platform in a phased manner. So this is what we're doing.
Awesome. I went on the website. I absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
You must be very pleased with this. You must be very proud of this.
I am, yes, Neil, to be very honest. I am because, every theatre actor per se thinks of doing something or the other for theatre. Theatre actors venture into television or films, and if they make it big, then, there is at the back of your mind, you always want to do something more for theatre. And you keep wondering what, maybe a production or something in direction, or maybe act in a play and things like that. But I guess what happened last year in this whole pandemic and lockdown is that it pushed me out of my comfort zone and forced me to think out of the box. And that is when Nine Rasa essentially was conceptualized and started with this whole intention of helping the theatre community in the pandemic. So a lot of friends called and they said, a lot of theatre actors, technicians are sitting home. We don't know what is going to happen next. So what do you think we should be doing? And that is when I felt if everything is going digital, like as it is cooking and fashion and everything was as it is digital. But when education also went digital, I felt if everything is going digital, why not theater? Why should it be limited only to a few performances in select auditoriums? That performance before which those actors work so hard, needs to go worldwide. There needs to be more people who should not only see that performance, but they should experience the magic of theater. And that's where the idea came up and we started working on it. We worked almost for 11 months. And then this April, last month is when we eventually launched the platform.
So you've been doing it 11 months. How are things going? Obviously, you mentioned the content. Can you share some stats or traction? You know, how many people have you signed up?
So in terms of your traction and numbers, I won't be able to reveal much right now. The response has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That is what I can definitely say. We have a lot of subscribers, a lot more than what we actually expected in the first couple of months. To be honest, Neil, we haven't really spent even a single rupee on our marketing exercise till now. And the reason behind that was because we wanted to first have a look for first at least a couple of months to gauge what is it that people really react on, what is it that they're liking, what is it that they're not liking, okay, and what are the glitches, what are the bugs in the tech part of it. So yes, there were certain issues in the technical part as well, which we've rectified, and we pretty much know what is it that people are looking forward to. So what happens is, we figure that when it comes to stage, there is a set pattern, okay, that we tend to follow, that somehow theater is always considered as a live medium. So whoever I speak with, 99.9% of the people will always say, but don't you think theater is a live thing? So obviously it is a live thing. And, you know, I have done theater for almost 16, 18 years. So I know for a fact that, you know, there is nothing in this world that can replicate the magic of a live performance, whether it is theater or any sport, right, for that matter. But my logic or my answer to that is, if cricket would not have been covered with various cameras and brought to your TV screens, probably cricket today would not have achieved a religion-like status, at least in our country. Okay, and this is for a fact, because when people go to a stadium to watch a cricket match, eventually they end up watching on the big screen over there.
Yeah,
you know, because your action replays and your third umpire decisions and all those things cannot happen again on ground or live. You know, and there are only a few people who can go and watch it. I'm saying when theater is so rich in its content, when it is so pure in its content, and when it is so novel in its content, why should it be only limited to a few auditoriums? It needs to go out to and reach more people. So developing that whole ecosystem is what we are really working towards. And I'm so glad that there are a lot of people who are reacting very positively. In fact, the millennials are the ones. So that I can definitely and proudly say that our audience is essentially in the age group of 15 to 45. Mm-hmm. So when we started, I was thinking that probably, you know, we would have people beyond 45 who would be probably more keen to watch theater and plays. Mm. But surprisingly, it is the millennials who've taken up, you know, to this whole online theater concept, and they are lapping it up. So I'm really, really happy and looking forward to giving them more content which they like.
Obviously, is theatre big in India? You know, what's the history of people going to watch theatre in India? Obviously, we know movies and TVs, and et cetera, but specifically, does India have a history of people going to theatres?
Theatre, see, I mean, even initially when there were no films or anything like that, there was only theatre, right? People wanted some form of entertainment. Started with basic storytelling and then performances and expressions and emotions and sets and properties and everything, right? So people used to love all of that. People used to love those live musicals or live performances that used to happen on stage. And the whole culture, theatre culture, up to a certain point, it was pretty much booming in India and in varied languages, whether it was Marathi or Hindi or Gujarati or Bengali or South Indian, Kannada, Tamil. It was booming. And then I remember when I used to do theatre, I stopped doing theatre around 2004. But till around 2000, I remember there used to be shows on weekdays as well.
Yeah.
So morning 11 o'clock or afternoon 4 o'clock or evening 8 o'clock. So, and weekdays, and shows used to run to packed houses on weekdays as well, because people, you know, still wanted to go and see theater. Then what happened is the economy started booming. People started getting busier. People started getting busier with their own lives. And then they felt, let's not watch it today. Maybe let's, you know, let's go and watch the show when it comes next time. But that next time never happens. Mm. And that is the reason that somehow the weekday shows got shut, and the shows used to happen only on weekends. So people would feel, okay, we'll go on Saturday afternoon. Then they said, Saturday is a day when we get some time to rest, because Sunday, again, we have to go somewhere with family. So let's try and catch the evening show. So that is the reason somewhere, you know, it's not like film that you miss the 3 o'clock show, then probably you can still catch the 3:15, 3:20 show, right? Or 3:30 show in the same theater, same multiplex. If you miss a theater show at 3 o'clock, then you have to wait for the show to come back again in that same theater at a time which is convenient to you. Okay. And especially in a place like India, Mumbai, where, you know, there are so many issues in traveling because of traffic and your time and things like that. This is the need of the hour. So, but otherwise, the whole theater scene in India was booming, flourishing up to a particular point.
When I think of theater, because obviously I'm from the UK, I always think of Shakespeare. But let's say I went to India. And you recommended, you know, something to watch. Obviously with you in it. What would you recommend?
No, so there have been, of course, some great writers in Hindi like Premchand or Krishna Sopti. So we have some plays by Premchand ji, Krishna Sopti ji, or Ratnakar Matkari ji, or P.L. Deshpande, or Vijay Tendulkar ji. So a lot of stalwarts, and you know, when you read their plays, when you read, so also what has happened is, you know, somehow ironically, whenever you say that, okay, I'm going to be shooting a particular play and putting it up on online for people to see, so majority of your, let's say, 50 plus age group citizens or audience will end up asking you, acha, do you have that classic with you? Are you going to be showcasing those classics? You know, so my answer to them is yes, of course. You know, I mean, as a theater buff, as a theater actor, I have adored and admired those classics all my life. And I would definitely want to showcase them on the platform and in fact, be a part of some of them, you know, as an actor. But I also want to say that, you know, there are so many new writers who are coming up with some phenomenally great new stuff. When will they get their chance? There are so many new guys who want to write for theater, who want to make sure that, you know, because they can experiment over there, right? It's like, that's the reason we introduced this whole one-act play concept on the platform, which was not done earlier. It was not done anywhere earlier. So one-act plays used to happen in intercollegiate competitions and things like that. But some very, very interesting contemporary subjects is what they write on. Okay, and then they keep experimenting on that subject. The writing is superb. So my thing was, when will people get to know about things? When will these things become classics? You know, if we just keep sticking to the older ones, you know, all our life, then when will the new ones get their chance or their whatever moment under the sun? So that is what we are focusing on, in fact. So yes, while we do appreciate and want those classics, we are also focusing on some new content, new writers, writing some phenomenally great contemporary stuff.
I suppose, obviously, with it being a streaming service, you probably can get comparisons with like YouTube, Amazon, etc., Netflix. What do you think about that?
No, so to be honest, we are definitely not competing or trying to compare ourselves with the Netflix or Hotstars or Amazons of the world, because those are phenomenally big companies, you know, with big pockets. We are just a relatively new company. It is a completely self-funded venture. So all the money is going out of my pocket for now. But, you know, I put in money because I was convinced about the concept. I was convinced about the fact that, yes, theater needs to go worldwide. That is one. I was convinced about the fact that it has immense scalability. You know, because right now, for example, someone asked me, in that whole pie chart where Netflix has, let's say, 30% share, Hotstar 35% share, Amazon 30% share, and the others have some 10% share, where do you see yourself? So my answer is, I am not in that pie chart at all, you know, because my OTT platform is the first ever dedicated to theater and one of its kind, which is only for theater and performing arts. So technically, if you ask me, I'm on my own. I have a different pie chart of my own right next to them. And that 100% audience that is distributed in them technically is my entire audience, you know, because my thing is I want to develop that ecosystem where theater reaches every household, you know, because it is a form of entertainment, a medium of entertainment. And if not today, tomorrow, it will definitely reach out. So because the world is shrinking, okay, and the information that is spreading at a pace like never before. So it's just a matter of time that people get to know about it. And right now we have Indian theatre content. Very soon we will also collaborate with international productions and we can have those content pieces with us as well. And then it's only a matter of time, right? When people will start watching it left, right, center, where the millennials, like I said, if they're so hooked on to the platform, if they're enjoying the content on the platform, then obviously they are completely okay with this whole online experience because that is what they know. They are right now having their education online. Okay. So obviously it's just second nature for them. Okay. So we watch maybe a series on Netflix. We do our studies on our laptop. And similarly, we watch theater online. Mm. It's as simple as that. So in terms of scalability, it is immense. It is huge. And I was pretty convinced about that. So to answer your question, no, I'm not competing or comparing myself with the giants of this world.
Awesome. So, yeah, like I said, I went to the website and I think for a website like this to be successful, you need a lot of creators, which you have, some really talented people on that platform. Obviously, talk about the creators or people who've worked on this website.
You're absolutely right, Neil. The team, there has to be a team behind all of this. And I'm happy and fortunate to have some of the best people in the industry backing me in terms of creating content or acquiring content or programming and things like that. So we have someone like Mr. Sanjay Upadhyay, who is an ex-programming head at Sony Television. And then he was handling all the regional verticals at Colors, that is Viacom 18 network, before he quit his job. And now he's joined us as our programming and strategy head. Then we have a national award-winning director, Ashwini Chaudhary, who handles our content operations and acquisitions. And, you know, some more. Obviously, it's a very, very lean team. I am personally looking a lot into the, day-to-day affairs of the company. Mm-hmm. So, very lean team, but some really experienced people supporting me on this entire venture. And you cannot do anything without your team per se. In terms of content creators, producers, yes, we have some extremely new talented guys, dynamic people directing some content for us. At the same time, we have someone as legendary as Mr. Vijay Kenkre directing some content for us. He's done more than 100 plays as a director. In fact, his father was a very, very renowned director. And like I said, we have some scripts which are certain classics by Premchand ji, then Krishna Sopti ji, Ratnakar Matkari ji, and writers like those, and in addition to some new writers. So I think, you know, it's right now it's a great mix and we are very happy with the way things are moving. Like I said, we've not really started our marketing activity yet, but still there are a lot many people who know about Nine Rasa and are subscribing to Nine Rasa or becoming registered users of Nine Rasa. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy with the response that we're getting.
How do you actually determine what actually goes on the platform then and what doesn't? You know, that must be quite a tough decision process around that. a few arguments and stuff like that. I don't know.
It is, but what, you know, right on day one, thankfully, my wife actually is a clinical psychologist by profession now. So she handles our production as well. And admin part is something that she takes care of. Mm-hmm. But she was very clear right in the beginning. And she's one of the founders of Nine Rasa. So she was very clear that Shreyas is not going to be the one who will select all content.
Right.
So this entire team.
And what did you think of
entire, that? You know, I agree with her. Right. You know, obviously, it is something which not anybody would really like when it is said in that manner.
Yeah. Especially if it's your money.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it makes sense because then it's very simple logic that, you know, if I keep selecting everything, then all the content is going to be only of my choice. And I'm not God, you know. I don't know what is it that people might like or might not. So it's very important that, you know, everybody from the team, then we do our voting as well. And most of the time it is a content piece which everybody likes, which, you know, we get a thumbs up from everyone and then we go ahead with it. But otherwise, there are certain content pieces which I'm not convinced about, okay, as a person or as an actor. But there are others in the team who are very confident about it. And then we go ahead with it. It's as simple as that. So, and in fact, you know, to be very honest with you, there are those content pieces which are getting some great traction. So I know I could be wrong at certain places. Okay, I know my conviction about certain content pieces might not be the best one. But there are people with experience who feel that, no, there is a certain audience which will like that, or there is a certain perception that the platform will have because of this content piece, and that those are the deciding factors. So I'm happy with the way the team has been selecting some content. In fact, from the last schedule to this one, there has been a tremendous change and maturity in terms of selecting our content. In fact, last year, obviously, you know, we had a lot of restrictions in terms of collecting content or acquiring content and shooting content because of very strict lockdown procedures. We were supposed to shoot now, but unfortunately, because of the second wave, it got pushed. And we are pretty much in the same scenario as last year, where, you know, there are going to be a lot more restrictions, in fact, now for shooting. But it's okay, you know. We are used to facing challenges and overcoming them. So we're looking forward to shooting some great content now.
Yeah, I suppose being an entrepreneur is, you know, something different, something new to what you're usually doing. Were you sort of like intimidated or worried about getting into this project? Or did anyone like try and talk you out of it, or, you know, before you started? Because obviously it's something new, right? So you don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reference point per se. And especially when you're putting in so much of your own hard-earned money, then obviously there are some people who will always tell you, especially coming from a middle-class Maharashtrian background, you know, I wasn't that all that great as far as business is concerned till last year, till I got into this. And then this last year taught me a lot. You know, pretty much I can pass out from London School of Business if you take my exam today. But yes, there was some resistance as well. There were certain people who felt, what are you getting into? Are you very convinced about? Don't put in your own money and things like that. But I feel whenever we've put in our own money in films, because we were convinced about it and we worked hard to make sure that our money is going to be safe. So similarly on Nine Rasa also, you know, like I said, it's just a matter of time. Till 2019 December, OTT as a segment was considered rubbish by a lot of people. A lot of people said, what is this whole OTT thing? You know, how are they earning their money? Subscriptions is not going to give them so much. You know, how are they earning money? And suddenly in 2020, OTT became probably the second most used word after Corona and COVID. You know, so everybody knew about OTT. Everybody knew about content. They were talking about OTT. Have you seen this? Have you seen that? And things changed, right? Overnight. So I am pretty sure that, you know, it's just a matter of time when people will get to know about Nine Rasa, that people will start watching theater online as well. You know, being a theater actor, I definitely will keep rooting always for ground shows and live shows. But online theater is something which is, like Nasir Ji also said in one of his interviews, that, you know, we cannot replicate the magic of a live performance, but online theater is an inescapable part of the future. So if this is the future, you know, we might as well start early, is what I felt. And from the response that we're generating, I'm glad we jumped into it. We just have to hold on and be there for as long as it takes to make sure that, you know, it's a success.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be a success. So come on then, as a first-time entrepreneur, what have been the key insights? And, you know, obviously this is the Indian Startup Show. There's obviously people doing startups themselves. What advice would you give them?
Okay, so first of all, I felt, like I said, in this whole last year, what it did was to get me out of my comfort zone.
Yep.
And it forced me to think out of the box. So personally, I feel there is much more potential in you than what you think you have or what you assume to be having. You know, you just have to apply your mind and your heart and do what you feel like doing. Yes, there are certain risks involved, but like we keep saying, that every film has a certain audience. You know, it deserves a particular kind of budget. If you cross that budget, then you're in for whatever, a shocker maybe, you know, then you're getting into the riskier zone. But otherwise, every film has a certain audience which will make sure that you get back your money. So I don't think, as long as you have the sincerity, honesty and passion to do a particular thing, you need to worry about anything. So my advice to them is just don't think about it. Yes, but don't overthink about anything. Because then, you know, kya kehte, there was a dialogue ki soch gehri ho jaye to irade kamzor ho jate hain. So it's better ki, you know, you don't overthink about any particular thing. If you want to do a certain thing, get whatever information you can and just take that leap of faith, jump into it and then see what happens, you know. So that's what I've done. And whatever work I've done till date, I have just followed my gut and I've taken that leap of faith. And to be very honest, Neil, the way I have generated response from the time I started till now, the kind of people who have come with me, who have supported me, cooperated with me and working with me, and the way we've got our content and things like that, I never thought that this would happen. But this is a reality today for me. Something that I thought about last year, you know, who would have thought that some normal middle-class Maharashtrian fellow from Mumbai would eventually start the world's first ever OTT platform for theatre and performing arts. But it has happened, right? It's a reality today. People can watch content on that platform. So I think if someone like me can achieve this, there are so many people out there who can definitely do better.
Awesome stuff. How big do you want to go with this then?
I guess sky's the limit for this one, you know, because like I said, I have my own pie chart and there's a huge audience base just waiting out there who want to watch theater. And there are so many people who've got no clue about theater.
Yeah.
Those people are who I'm targeting at. Yeah. You know, I want them to just experience this magic of theater. And it's like, okay, when we watch theater, it was live.
Yeah.
But also because that time there was no online theater happening. If for example, let's say my child, she's 3 years old, if she starts watching online theater, okay, then theater for her is online, right? As simple as that. Of course, if she becomes an actress, then she might perform on stage, okay? But as an audience, she has probably seen theater for the first time online and she's probably liked it. Then obviously she's going to watch some more shows online. Mm-hmm. If she has liked what she's seeing, that is our endeavor, to make sure that whatever people see, they should end up liking it. So our focus right now is on some great content, great performances, nice, clean, clear audiovisual quality. So that is what we are focusing on. So once people get hooked on to that, then obviously it's not going to be that difficult to get more people.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Let's talk about you then. You mentioned acting. I mean, most people know you as an actor, director, producer. How did you get into acting?
Okay. So that was something which happened because one of the girls who was acting in our school skit decided to back out. Of course, I had seen a play in Marathi, a full-length play in Marathi, and I had loved it, you know. I mean, till the time I saw that play, I was of the opinion that theater probably is so boring. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when I saw the play, I was blown. I was like, wow, I was missing out on this big time, dude. And then I decided that I want to be a part of something like this. So in our school skits, you know, I started participating just by doing backstage, mm-hmm. by helping out people. And then suddenly, one of the girls who was playing the lead decided to back out.
Right.
And so my habit was, I used to rehearse and I used to buy hard all the lines of all the characters. Okay, so whoever actor used to be there, I used to learn his lines and I would just be, you know, I used to like doing that. And then suddenly, because she backed out, my friend suggested, why don't you play that part? You know, and that was just a day before the performance. So they said, you know those lines, you know. I said, but, you know, that's a girl part. So, big deal. We'll get you costumes. We'll do your makeup. And this was when I was in school, right? 7th, 8th standard. So I said, we'll do your makeup and everything. And don't worry, you'll be on. And that's how I got into it. I got on stage, extremely nervous. I didn't know what was happening. And suddenly all the kids, you know, saw me and they said, "Arey, I think this is a boy. This is a boy. This is Shreyas," you know. And they started laughing, cheering. And after my first dialogue, there was this huge round of applause and laughter. And that is what actually built a lot of my confidence. Till that point in time, I was this very, soft-spoken, underconfident, very average kind of kid, not good in studies, not good in sports. And yeah, obviously, there's some guy who wouldn't even get a second look. You wouldn't even know if he passed next to you. Mm. So, but suddenly, because of that performance, I became popular in school, you know. Suddenly, everybody knew me. Hey, yaar, ye wahi hai. He's the same guy who played Sita, you know, in that play. And yeah, I like that. I like that feeling. I like that confidence that I got.
Mm.
And then from there on, you know, it was never looking back. So I kept doing some skits in school. Then I got into college. I joined the dramatics club in college, won a lot of awards, competitions. And yeah, I mean, this was something that eventually I felt this is it. You know, this is what I like to do, like doing. I love doing. And I'm most comfortable doing. So that is how I started.
But then how did you learn to become an actor? Oh, obviously, you know, you've done the acting bit, you like it, people like you. Then, you know, there's a craft as well.
So we, in college, we used to do a lot of workshops.
Right, okay.
So our gurus, their names are Arun and Mukesh. You know, they taught us well. They made sure that our foundation was strong enough to make sure that wherever we go and whatever we do, we will follow a certain procedure and we'll do it well. So the workshops taught me a lot of things. And even today, in fact, you know, if there's a particular part which I'm doing and which I feel I need some guidance, I always speak with them. I call them up. I ask them if it is okay, if this is the way I should be approaching a particular. And I don't think there's anything wrong in it because, you know, you are a student all your life. You just keep learning, keep adding more, you know, weapons in your armory and things like that. So, so that is how we learned it. And that is how I even today, my approach hasn't changed towards my art or my craft.
Mm.
So I just, you know, take my time, understand the character, understand the story. So, and I guess when a writer narrates a story to you, you can see that particular film in front of your eyes. Mm. And when you see the film, you actually see your part as well. So that is what you got to do. Then you just, when you've seen it, you just got to go out there and execute it. Mm. Simple as that.
Well, let's say you see a script and the director says you should be doing this and you think, well, actually, my character should be doing the opposite. Would you actually say to the scriptwriter or that director, look, perhaps change this word or this line or something? Would you get involved with that?
In the script, yes. I mean, there are times when, you know, when you read it, you know that certain things. What happens with a particular writer or director, because they've been doing it so many times over and over again, that's, there are certain times that they might lose out on certain objectivity. So when they narrate it to a third person, the third person has a different take on the entire thing, you know. And this is something that I take permission from the writer-director and then I suggest whatever I feel. And only if they are okay with it, you know. So obviously every director and writer will ask you, what do you feel about it? Is there anything that, you know, bothers you? So obviously, as an actor, if there are certain things that keep bothering you, you keep telling them that, you know, this is lengthy. This eventually you will probably edit on the edit table, you know. So let's not shoot this because it is not making sense. It is just repetitive or repeat information or certain dialogue, certain punches, which you feel that, you know, can I say something like this here, which will be a little more funnier. So we keep doing that all the time. And yes, there are some directors who are okay with that. Some are not okay with it. So, you know, you understand that, you know, and then you keep quiet. You're like, okay, you know, because I think probably, and it's not that they are not right. It's just that they have their own vision and conviction for the same. So I think once you agree to it, then you should just follow the director's vision for that particular project.
Awesome. What was your breakthrough moment then?
I guess me doing Iqbal in 2005 was the breakthrough moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, whatever I am is thanks to Iqbal. You know, because Iqbal gave me name, fame, identity, money, everything. You know, so obviously everything else followed after that. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think I can never thank Nagesh Kuknur, Subhashji, Rahul Puri, Eli Hiptullah enough for giving me that opportunity of a lifetime.
Because you did a TEDx talk and you talked about that moment.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you talked about that moment that you got the job or the role.
Yeah.
Just tell our listeners about that, because initially you weren't going to get that role.
So when I got a call from another friend of mine, he, you know, first said that, do you play cricket? And I said, yeah, of course I play cricket. So he said, okay. Nagesh Kuknur is making a film on cricket, and there's a small part in that film where he wants a cricketer, a bowler. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, why not? You know, I'll go and meet him. And I met Nagesh, and he asked me three questions, and I failed in all three. The first one he asked me is, are you an actor? I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, okay, I'm actually looking for a bowler. So I said, oh, okay. No, but I play cricket, sir. I can bowl. So I said, oh, great, you can bowl. Do you do pace bowling? I said, no, sir. I am actually a medium pacer, not a pace bowler. He said, oh, actually, I'm looking for a pace bowler. But anyways, you know, how old are you? So I said, sir, I am 29. He said, oh, 29. I'm actually looking for someone who's 18, 19 max. So I said, I'm sorry, sir. That is something that I cannot really work on. The other two factors I still can, but not on this. So he said, no, nevertheless, it's okay. Give me your number. Let me call you for an audition and then let's see how it goes. So I exchanged numbers. And after a week, 10 days, I got a call from their office asking for an audition. Said, can you come and, you know, do a screen test? I said, yeah. So I went, I did my screen test. They liked it. They called me again in the evening and I did it again. And then they asked me, you know, okay, do you have dates? So all along, I've been thinking that, okay, this is for a small part of a cricketer in this film. So I said, yeah, of course I have dates. So they said, okay, block 3 months. So I said, 3 months? So they said, yeah. I said, why do you need 3 months? I said, for the shoot. I said, but isn't this some small part in this film? So they said, who told you? I said, my friend who called me and said, you know, it's a small part. They said, no, I was mad. This is for the lead part of Iqbal, the guy that we're looking for. So I said, oh my God, okay. Can I audition again? So he laughed and he said, yeah, you will have to. Don't worry about it. You will have to do a couple more auditions. So I was shortlisted. Then I did a couple more bowling auditions and things like that. And it was only after that that, two of us got shortlisted. And Nagesh and his entire team, then there was voting that happened that who should play Iqbal between the two of us. And I was told that Nagesh's vote was in my favor. And that's how I became Iqbal.
Well, the rest is history. Was that the first time you actually got recognized on the street then?
In fact, before that, I had done a few Marathi daily soaps on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And a huge section in Maharashtra, as in Maharashtrians, knew me from TV. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I still remember the first time that I did a particular part in a series. And that name of the character was Nishant Mahajan. Mm. Okay. And at that point in time, I didn't have any vehicle, no bike, no car, nothing. I used to travel by bus, the normal, you know, your state transport bus. So I was waiting for a bus at a bus stop, and suddenly, you know, the bus came and stopped in front of me, and one guy from inside the bus was yelling, Nishant, Nishant, Nishant. And I had no clue. So, yeah, we kept looking all around us and he was looking at me and yelling my name. And he said, hey, Nishant. And then I said, me? And he said, yeah, Nishant, hi. And that is the first time that I realized, wow, you know, this character is something that people have seen, people have liked, and they remember my name. So, you know, that was my first, in a way, brush with, let's say, popularity or whatever, fan following, if you may call it. Then after Iqbal, obviously, you know, it was a different ball game altogether. Mm. I still remember me, Nagesh, Rahul, we used to go and see those initial shows in theaters and audience reaction. So after the show, we would just quietly stand outside the door, the exit door, and people would walk out and, you know, Nagesh would ask them, okay, how did you find the film? And they said, oh, we loved the film. It was superb. And then they would look at me and suddenly there used to be a very wide grin on their face. And they would say, hey, you're that guy, right? And I would say, and then they would, you know, start talking to me in sign language. So they would try all these sign language things. Oh, you're the guy. Oh, yes. So I would say, yes, I'm the one. Oh, you can talk. So, yeah, of course, I can speak. I can hear. Okay. So they said, no, but that was so convincing. We actually felt you are like that you probably cannot hear, cannot speak. I said, no, I'm glad you felt like that, you know, but it's all thanks to my director. So yeah, I mean, those and Nagesh, you know, I still remember him telling me that, you know, you should just cherish these moments, because first film success is first film success, you know. Your second film will be a second film, but your first film is something that you should, we should never forget how it was. So yeah,
emotionally, does it take a lot out of you when you do movies? Is there any slight specific movie you think, wow, I'm totally mentally gone after this movie?
Yeah, no, it does. Like for Iqbal, you know, I got married on 31st of December, and on 1st January. I took the first flight out of Mumbai for Hyderabad. And then I guess I saw my wife after, almost a month and a half. I was just newly married. Straight away, I went for my practice sessions of Iqbal and then the shoot of Iqbal. And I came back home after 3 months. So at that point in time, that period was, you know, emotionally challenging. It was obviously even physically tiring.
Yeah.
The kind of practice and shoots that used to happen. But, you know, couldn't have given it up for anything in the world. So yeah. Thankfully, my wife, it's her birthday today, by the way. So, but because we had planned this earlier, so I said, no, we're going ahead with this interview.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, firmly behind me and she supported me like anything. So she said, don't worry about me. It's like, you know, you're thinking there's this newlywed girl, you know, because she's going to leave her parents' house and coming to a new house altogether where her husband is not there, you know. So she's just going to be staying with her in-laws and trying to manage stuff. New place, new people. How is she going to be? Is she okay? Is she not? But she didn't complain about anything, you know. She was ever smiling, ever supportive. So, of course, we haven't done our honeymoon yet, technically. So she didn't complain about anything, you know. I didn't have money at that point in time. I couldn't buy her anything.
Yeah.
So, but she was completely okay with all of that, because somewhere she believed in me as a person, as an actor. And then she also, you know, probably she was the one who felt more about the fact that Iqbal could be that turning point in my career. I was just, you know, taking one day at a time and trying to give my best shot to that particular film, having no clue what that film is going to do in my life or for my career. But she somewhere had this immense faith in that film. And when the film worked, we were extremely happy. So yes, there are times when, you know, you give everything to a particular project.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't really work at the box office, then you are shattered. You know, there's a piece of you that goes with that particular film. So, but yeah, there are certain techniques. But I personally, you know, there are some actors who tell me that, okay, it's only a film. You know, you need to just forget about it after a little while. But it's very difficult to do that, you know, because when you are performing, there are so many of your experiences that you get together and then, you know, you think about the character, think about all those little things. How will he eat? How will he walk? How will he sleep? How will he speak? Think about those little things and then you perform. And especially, you know, today, everybody is a critic. You know, they have their own damn platforms with some 15 followers and they'll just write, you know. So, okay, this particular story, this is this actor, no one impresses you and things like that. So my thing is, what have you done before in life? Have you even looked at your own life or your own self in the mirror and asked this question? What have you done? You have like 15 followers on Instagram and you think you're some critic. You have the right suddenly to speak about someone else's work. You don't even know what that person has gone through, what he's done. How can you comment on somebody else's work? Who gave you that right? You know, and there are, of course, some people who follow them. Some people think that, okay, their thing is probably something to be heard. But it is bull. In fact, there are certain people who just comment on it. And I on some work by certain producers. And I want to tell them, dude, have you even spent 5 rupees out of your pocket to create something? Have you taken that chance? You know, do you have that kind of confidence and conviction in yourself that, no, I will put in 5 rupees. Take this 5 rupees and create something. And then let's see what kind of response you get. when you don't have the balls to do something like that, how dare you comment on somebody else's work? It's something that I'm not able to fathom, you know. That is what actually bothers me a lot. It's not, your audience has all the right. They've paid money. Okay. And they'll say, okay, I didn't like it. Fair. But to do some analysis of somebody else's work like some god, okay, and then give it out on social media platforms and say, oh yeah, you know, I don't think that, you know, you deserve to be here. Who the hell are you to tell people that? What have you done in your life? That is something that I am not at all okay with.
Awesome. Last few questions. Just going back to Iqbal, then. Do you reckon you could have made it as a cricketer then? so was it right arm over medium pace? Was it?
I don't think so. And the simple reason for that is there were a lot of cuts that we used while shooting that film. So no, of course, I mean, I became a decent bowler.
Yeah.
After that, but you know, Indian cricket team or any cricket team around the world for that matter, and the way they play their game, hats off to all of them. You know, to make it to that international team and to play international matches, I think it's a different ball game altogether, and you need a lot of dedication and hard work to reach there.
One last question then, for people who want more information on Nine Dresser, what must they do?
Nothing. They just need to either visit our website, www.ninerasa.com, or they can visit Google Store, Apple Store, and download the app and watch some great content for free. First, there are two content categories. One is free content, one is premium content.
Yeah.
Free content, obviously, is completely free. You just download the app and start watching. And premium content is something that you need to subscribe for, but then the subscription for the first month is completely free. So, you know, just download and start watching, start enjoying theatre, some great content pieces in various Indian languages.
Awesome stuff. Suresh, thank you for coming on the show today. Much appreciated.
Pleasure, pleasure. I had a great time talking to you, Neil.
Awesome stuff. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks to Suresh for coming on the show today. Check out ninerasa.com. Thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. I shall be back next week. And if you're building something exciting, please send me an email, hello@neilpatel.co. Or you can tweet at IndianStartupSH, or you can go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Love to get thank you and goodbye.